1234 or visit salmonash.com because you deserve what's right.
Wake up to the latest news from the Raiders and around the NFL with Rich and Clay. Weekday mornings at 7 on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today rolls on this Wednesday. Your boy Q Myers, Scott Culbranson are with you as always. Of course, digesting the news today that Trent Brown was sent home under COVID protocol, will be sent to the reserve COVID list, and all five starting offensive linemen of your Las Vegas Raiders, as a precaution, were sent home. There's been no word on any of them being positive, so that's the good news. This happened on Monday. So under the COVID protocol, if those guys come back and test negative, they could be ready for Sunday. And we still don't know if the game will happen on Sunday or if it'll be moved. But that was a bit of good news that Tom Pelissero reported and Q found as we were on the air last hour. Coming up here in just a minute, we'll be joined by Greg Aumann from The Athletic in Tampa Bay to talk about the Buccaneers. So we'll roll on with that one. We want to tell you first, though, too, one of the things that Q and I do before the show is we have a Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. These things are amazing. If you haven't tried them, you need to. We talk about them every day. They're a proud sponsor here on Silver and Black Today and Raider Nation Radio. But we actually eat these things. They're part of our lives. Superfoods. I'm talking kale. I'm talking great proteins, both grass-fed and whey proteins. And Q, these things are great. I had another. I'm addicted again now. I've gone from banana since they're on a worldwide shortage to the mint chocolate chip, and I had my second day in a row where I had my mint chocolate chip, man.
That's all right. I'm still doing the peanut butter. I got that one. Peanut butter, chocolate chip. I'm good with that one. You know what's funny?
What's that?
And I probably shouldn't tell you this. I got three boxes of the banana ones at the house.
Oh.
I just haven't tried them yet.
Wait, you haven't?
Well, I mean,
you've tried them before.
I have, but I'm saying I haven't tried them like with the great consistency.
Yeah, that's
clearly.
Oh, but this, the mint chocolate Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar, it reminds me of like mint chip ice cream. I don't know if you like that. I know you don't eat the ice cream anymore, but although they do have some that you could eat, they're lactose free.
It's like drinking alcohol free beer.
Yeah, there you
go.
That's
the point.
But anyway, so it's great. And by the way, because you guys are listeners, we're going to let you in on it. This is a top secret thing. You get a discount if you listen to us. Use the code SBT10 at drjensnutrition.com. You order it there, you'll get a discount. Plus, you'll get free shipping. If you're in Las Vegas, Terrible Herbs convenience stores, all your local health food stores, ask for Dr. Jen's nutrition, Ultimate Protein Bars, excuse me, and they will have them from Dr. Jen's Nutrition. So thank you to them. Okay, we're going out on the newsmaker line now. We're bringing in our good friend Greg Aumann from The Athletic in Tampa Bay to talk about the Buccaneers. And clearly, Greg, a lot of big news here today with the Raiders and COVID and what's going on. But we're going to assume that the game will go on Sunday or maybe a day later. Who knows? But when you're looking at this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, they're really coming off, I think, one of their biggest wins in a long, long time in the regular season. Where are they at overall? How are they feeling about themselves after they did what they did to the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big boost to take an undefeated Packers team and beat them as thoroughly as they did. They'd had moments that looked good. They'd beaten some bad teams, lost to the Saints. But yeah, this was far and away the best they've played in a regular season game in a long time, for sure. It's just a matter of, it's just one win, so you obviously have to validate it. The chance to go up against a Raiders team that's coming off a huge win against the Chiefs, one of those teams will really get to prove themselves on Sunday.
What have you seen from Todd Bowles' defense? And they had a big game, obviously, against Green Bay. But what has Todd Bowles been doing that's been pushing such the right buttons just to get these guys prepared and set up for the right situation to be successful?
Yeah, I think just him being, I mean, in his second year here, I think all the players have a much better level of mastery and fluency in what he wants them to do. They weren't a very good defense at this point last year, really took a big step forward at the end of last season, and have built on that here in the first six games this year. Just a lot more complexity and deception and disguise to what they're able to do. They were able to bring back their front seven intact from last year. They have a super young secondary. They're all 24 or younger. And playing really well. I mean, Aaron Rodgers hadn't had a pick all year, only his two pick sixes in his career coming in, and they picked him off twice in the span of three plays, and that really kind of started things in terms of turning the game from, you know, what was a 10-0 deficit to a 28-10 lead at the half.
Greg Allman from The Athletic in Tampa Bay joins us. And, Greg, that defense got better. Of course, they lost Vita Vea, the draft pick, with that season-ending ankle injury. But then they go out and they make a trade with the Jets and they bring in nose tackle Steve McClendon. Talk about what he's going to do for that defense and how they feel about being able to get a player of his caliber.
Yeah, I think they're really excited about getting Steve McClendon. I mean, he's 34 years old, so in the the final years of his career, but has experience with just about everybody here. Played for Todd Bowles with the Jets. His defensive coordinator with the Jets, Casey Rogers, is now the defensive line coach here in Tampa Bay. He overlapped with Bruce Arians for 3 years in Pittsburgh when Bruce was an assistant there. So there's definitely some familiarity. It's hard with COVID these days and that he's not going to be able to get in the building until Friday, if all goes well with testing and everything. So might only have one practice, but then can go with a team and will be a big part of their run defense. I mean, losing Vita Vea is tough, and you're not going to really replace him with any single person. But I think they feel like he's someone who's done that in this defense and can really help them out.
How consistent can that run game that we all saw last week against Green Bay, how consistent can that be?
It's getting there. I mean, Ronald Jones has had three straight 100-yard games. The second longest streak in Bucs history. So that's, you know, relatively speaking, that's consistent. You know, Leonard Fournette had a 100-yard game earlier this year. So they've run the ball well. I mean, I think they wanted to have a more balanced offense, even though they've got Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and two Pro Bowl receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I think they want to kind of ease the burden on Brady a little bit and having a consistent run game to be able to move the chains and kind of set up third and manageable more often really makes things easier for him, I think.
Again, Greg Augman from The Athletic joins us. And, Greg, when you talk about Tom Brady, you know, there was a lot of – I think a lot of people are out there waiting to see him degrade and become not the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, at least how he's playing now. But, again, Father Time is still a step behind Tom Brady. We saw it this past week against the Packers, a really good, efficient game where he did a lot to help that team win. How is his adjustment period? Is he now at that inflection point where he's kind of very comfortable where he's at and who he's got on his roster and where he's going in that offense of Bruce Arians?
Yeah, I think so. This is one of those where, you know, early on, had a pick six against the Saints, had a pick six early against the Chargers, where it was clearly still finding his way, you know, but led the Bucs back from 17 down to beat the Chargers, threw five touchdowns in that game. You know, he's played at a high level since then, really. I mean, I think he's got 14 touchdowns against four interceptions, you know, throwing the ball for yards. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those where I think it took a little bit of time. This is the first time in his career he's really had to learn a new offense, had to get to know new teammates. So especially with the constraints of COVID and not having a normal preseason or a normal offseason, it made sense that there would be a little bit of an adjustment in that first month.
One of the conversations that we've had throughout the week so far leading up to this game is the fact that, you know, John Gruden used to be the head coach at Tampa Bay, and that's who, you know, beat the Raiders in the Super Bowl. He was the coach with Tampa Bay and then got fired by Tampa Bay. Has there been any of those kind of like connect the dot conversations going on right now amongst Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, obviously, you know, with Gruden, and there's all kinds of intertwining with the two franchises. And Gruden, mm-hmm. you know, was with the Raiders, got traded for draft picks to the Bucs, beat the Raiders, now is back with the Raiders. It's a soap opera of back and forth between the two. But this is his first time. I mean, he's you know, called games on TV against the Bucs, but to go back against your old team in your brand new $2 billion stadium, this is a big game for him and a chance to, you know, I mean, I'm sure he'll have extra motivation. And honestly, I'm sure the Raider players will have motivation knowing he's going up against, you know, a team that fired him.
Yeah, no doubt. And the John Gruden in that on that ring of honor there in Tampa Bay. And one guy I wanted to ask you about before we let you go, Greg, too, is a guy that I've had fun watching this year, and that's Lavonte David, the linebacker for the Buccaneers. How has he progressed and sort of really taken over that defense as far as the middle goes and really become the leader that the Buccaneers knew he could be?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's somebody who's been really consistent here. This is his ninth year. Kind of perpetually undervalued, underappreciated nationally in terms of Pro Bowls and things like that, but just makes plays. I mean, very consistent. I mean, Gerald McCoy was kind of the leader here for a long time, and now that he's gone, David is definitely the most long-standing player here. There are other guys who are veteran types in Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul, even Shaq Barrett, but they're all guys that have been here 1 or 2 years. So David is very much kind of the center of this team, if you will. Just super athletic, makes a ton of plays, split a sack with somebody, had his own sack on Sunday. He's playing at a high level, and I think some of the greater national interest in the Bucs because of Brady and everything else kind of puts more of a spotlight on him. So he's very deserving, and I think it was NFC Defensive Player of the Month for September, and is probably in really good shape to get some of these accolades that he's fallen short of in past years.
And what about, Greg, what about this Raider game for the Buccaneers? What do the Raiders do that might be of concern to that Buccaneer defense as good as they've played?
Yeah, I mean, I think the speed is obviously an impact thing. I mean, look at Ruggs. I think Jacobs, obviously they've handled good running backs this season already. But Jacobs is another top five running back. I mean, Aaron Jones was, and they were able to hold him to whatever, 15 yards on 10 carries. But just the overall speed. I mean, they've definitely had moments as a defense where they've lapsed, if for lack of a better word. I mean, the Bears had some longer plays. The Chargers had, I think, 72-yard touchdown, 53-yard touchdown. So if you're not careful, Carr's the guy that can sling it. I mean, the last time Derek Carr played the Bucs, I think he threw for 513 on 40 of 59 passing, 4 touchdowns. So they're well aware there's not that many guys left on this defense for 2016. But there's guys that will tell them what Carr can do if you let him find open guys, especially downfield.
All right, Greg Allman from The Athletic in Tampa Bay. Greg, we appreciate you, and we'll see you out here at the game.
All right, thanks again, guys. Take care.
All right, there's Greg Allman taking a look at the Buccaneers. And Q, I think this is going to be an interesting game for the Raiders because there's so many, I think, subplots. You talked about, of course, the Gruden subplots. But remember, right, the Arians-Gruden relationship, we're going to play a cut from that. We'll talk about Bruce Arians was asked today. We had time with him as well about John Gruden and their relationship, and this is what he said. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. We're queuing it. We're queuing it up, Q.
You should have queued him up a little earlier, man. Gave him the signal earlier.
I know. It was my fault. Absolutely. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, John and I have always gotten along great, you know, when he would come in and do the pregame stuff. And, you know, I did one with him, and it's been fun. It's been a great relationship over here. His dad actually helped me get the Temple job a long, long time ago.
There you go. So
there you go.
You talk about a long history, but when you look at the game on the field, Q, again, establishing the run against that Tampa Bay defense, and you heard what Greg said, what they did last week against the Packers, and then you look at their defensive backs. They have a good defensive backfield as well. So, yeah, Derek Carr can pass the ball, and the speed that the Raiders have could present problems for Tampa Bay, but it ain't going to be a picnic.
No, it's not. No, they're going to have to put their best foot forward, man. They're going to have their work cut out for them. So it's going to be a dogfight, man. Nothing easy about this game. I felt really good at the beginning of the week. I thought that the Raiders had a great shot to go and win that game. Actually, it's not go. They're going to be there in Allegiant Stadium. But still, I felt like they were going to win that game. Now I do have a little bit of, you know, questions just because I don't know who's going to be out there on the field. If you get everybody back and they participate, then great. You know, I feel like they still have that shot. But you got a couple guys missing from that O-line, man. All of a sudden the game has changed because that defensive front for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that's no joke.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So you're going to be without Trent Brown. There's just that we
right,
know.
No doubt.
And I think that makes a big difference. But if that O-line minus Brown, and again, man, it's tough when you saw how well they did against the Chiefs, but they're going to have to overcome it. They're going to have to find a way,
right?
And that's what the NFL is about. I mean, you get thrown all sorts of kind of wild cards during the NFL season, injuries, scheduling issue, whatever it may be, and you just have to find a way around it. And the Raiders are going to have to do that without Trent Brown, and hopefully they get to do it on Sunday, and those guys are ready to go after they clear COVID tests. Hopefully all of them clear negatively. All right, time to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Q-tip. That's right. It's that time of the day. You're here with Scott and Q only on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920.
Yeah, we're pleased with Booker. We think he's getting better in our system. And, you know, Josh wears him down, and then it's good to have a running back that's capable to come in and take advantage of some reps.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, here on a Wednesday. Your boy Q and Scott with you up until 4 o'clock when you'll hear from Vinny Bonsignor and Mr. Lincoln Kennedy. Maybe you've heard of him. They're coming up on In the Huddle next.
You think he can get on the field?
Oh, man. Yeah, I would love to see Big Link out there.
Give him a one-week contract.
That's right. That's right. Get him out there. Say, come on, show those young bucks how it's done.
Need one game out of you, Lincoln.
That's right. Just one game, man. If they gave him the right amount of money, maybe he would. We'll see. But they're coming up next. But Vinny also, by the way, just in the last 6 minutes, good clarification here because we went on the air and we're talking about scenarios. But Vinny's got a story up on the Review Journal, by the way. You can go read it now. But Vinny said, and we'll ask him about this when he comes in studio later, but he said, those who aren't deemed high risk, so the offensive linemen who were sent home, if they're not deemed high risk, they're eligible to return to work tomorrow. Right. Provided they test negative and had no symptoms. So that's great news.
That's really good news. As long as they, test negative.
Correct.
And they are not high risk.
Correct. So if that's the case, then a Sunday game maybe looks more promising than we would have thought at the beginning. But we'll also take your calls. Again, 702-365-9200, Silver and Black Today. Powered by Sam and Ash. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234 is the name. By the way, you can hear our show if you miss it. We had a caller who said, hey, he listens on his lunch break via the podcast. You can listen to our show. You can find Silver and Black Today wherever you get your podcasts. So if you're on Apple or if you're on Google or you're a Spotify or Stitcher, whoever it may be, you can find that. Just look for Silver and Black Today, and you can download the show. We break it up by hour. We break out the Q-tip, so you can listen to that separately if you want to. Whatever you want to do, you'll find it there. So check it out. Also, the website, silverandblacktoday.com. But now's the time of the day where we turn over the microphone and we give the stage to Q. It's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Well, it's funny how things work and how just kind of things get tied together so quickly. I think today's news, regardless of how it shakes out with Trent Brown, the rest of the offensive line, Jonathan Abram, I think it just goes back to the point that we've been trying to make on this show. And it's funny, I actually talked about it on the podcast today, on my Locked On Raiders podcast today, is the fact that it is week to week when it comes to the NFL. You can never look too far ahead because anything can happen at any time. We talk about teams that could jump up and bite you, and they might not look very good on paper. Well, guess what? Health might jump up and bite you, especially this year. I mean, it has to do with, COVID-19. You just don't know. That's why every single game that you see that team out there that they're actually able to play and their game doesn't get pushed or canceled or whatever the case may be, is really a blessing. You know what I mean? I mean, there's been so many scenarios that I've personally been involved with just covering sports in general from high school to college to the NFL. I've seen so much happen already in just a few months, in the last few months, that it's just really a blessing when each and every one of these teams can get out there and compete. So don't look too far ahead, Raider Nation, is basically what I'm trying to tell you. Don't start counting games as W's or L's. Just take it week to week, and that's just games played. Like I said, that's not even talking about wins or losses. That's not worried about that. That's just worried about getting the game in, because you never know. This could be the whole defensive line. This could have been the whole secondary. I mean, it's no surprise the whole offensive line had to get sent home. They meet with each other, you know? So if one guy, if the running back, one running back goes home, the whole running back room might go home. Or, hey, what about the quarterback? Yeah. You know, I mean, any of this could happen. So just take it week to week, game to game, and enjoy what you're able to see. That's why I try not to get too high or too low. Like I said, the news today kind of bummed me out a little bit. But at the same time, I realize this is the world that we're living in, especially in 2020.
And that's why the teams and the players have to do what they can. And again, we don't know that they didn't. That's the thing. We all want to watch the team do well and perform well, especially fans out there. And I get that. It's like you said earlier on in the show, Q. And so you get people, they get frustrated if their guys go down due to this thing. But at the same time, you really just have to watch. You got to be careful. You got to make sure that everybody stays healthy. And some more clarification, too. And again, I know we're going to have Vinny on later, but I really want to get the information out there. And Vinny tweeted out about how it gets tricky for the Raiders because their starting offensive line, because of the contact tracing, it's based on their last contact with Trent Brown, which would have been Monday. We already established that.
Yep.
But anyone that's deemed high risk, we talked about that right at the top of this segment, it has to spend 5 days in protocol from based on Tuesday, which means Sunday, right? Now, how they...
Well, I mean, Saturday.
Saturday, right. How they deem them... How they deem them... high risk, I don't know. I guess it's going to depend on proximity, time spent, all sorts of things. So it's not that they test positive or that they aren't feeling well. And Vinny says the earliest high-risk contacts will be eligible will be Saturday if they get through all the hurdles, and they can play Sunday, but they would have had no practice at that point.
Right.
So you still got to wonder, and we'll go through the scenarios with Vinny when he gets here, because to me, that's the other thing, is if I'm the Raiders, no matter what, I would be pushing the NFL to try to move the game by a day at least, so you can get those guys and run through some reps before, but who knows if the NFL is going to...
That Sunday Night Football money, too.
I know.
They'd have to find a new Sunday Night Football game, so that would be...
Yes.
That would be tough.
Yes. So
here goes Vinny right here. Per league source, Raiders should know early Thursday morning who among Trent Brown's teammates fall under the high-risk contact category.
There you go. So we will know early tomorrow morning who that is, which means if they're high-risk, then they're going to be under the protocol for a little
while. Who that is? That's just my baby daddy. Remember that song?
I don't. Who's that?
Are you serious?
I don't. Who's that one?
Do you really don't know that?
I don't know that.
That's like Trick Daddy, right?
Trick Daddy. I don't know that one.
Who's that? That's just my baby daddy. Or that's some, I don't know, Trick Daddy was in the song. You don't remember that song back in the day?
I don't.
That's just my baby daddy.
Serious? No, that one I don't remember.
Oh, man, I don't remember. I don't remember who it was, but Trick Daddy was in it.
Okay, well, you remember more than I did. All right, we're going out to Jerry in Las Vegas, who joins us on the phone on the Raider Nation Hotline. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
When I got the news today, man, I almost threw my phone. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, we just got Brown back, and then we lose him again, possibly. It was like, I'm getting anxious for tomorrow morning to hear the news and see if any of you guys test positive. Like, come on, we need Brown Sunday. Like, this one's a big one. So, but worst case scenario, maybe just delay the game a few days. That way, like you said, have all our bullets in the chamber. I'd rather have all our guys and have some makeshift offensive line. You know what I'm saying? That was horrible news. But hoping for the best, but prepared for the worst. But hopefully, if we have to fill in the hole, you know, these guys are ready to step up like always.
Yeah.
And I want to make one more comment. I saw the presser today with Derek Carr. I only caught that part of it. And I love some of the questions they asked, especially Mr. Levi, when he asked him about the whole Tom Brady thing, how they're talking about Tom Brady possibly coming to Vegas, taking his place. And you can kind of tell he was annoyed by the question, but he had a good answer, though. It was a very PC answer, but you know it's in the back of his mind. It's another chip on the shoulder. And whenever Derek Carr plays with a chip on his shoulder, I feel like that's the best Derek Carr we get. Like, I feel like when he played the Kansas City game, he had that chip on his shoulder because, you know, he was talking about how it's not a rivalry game anymore. You know, he never won at Kansas City until then, so he had that chip on his shoulder. So hopefully that's the Derek Carr we get again at the Tampa Bay game, and that way you don't lose in our house to the Bucs.
Yeah, I think having the chip on his shoulder is a good thing. I mean, that's what you want. Agreed. Is you want him extra motivated, right? You're a professional. You got to be motivated all the time. But that little oomph, that little extra cue, I think is something that's what the good ones do, is they get up for big games. And yeah, he talked about a couple weeks ago, he moves to Las Vegas. The first day he's here, the front page of the paper's got the picture of Mark Davis, John Gruden with Tom Brady. So good for him. I mean, anything you want to do, that's great. And Jerry, thanks for the call. All right. Well, there you go. But I love that, man. You want that. You talked about yesterday Raider fans in general and Raider Nation just having that general chip on their shoulder. That's what separates them. So you want your quarterback to be the same way.
Right, exactly. You do. And I think he's absolutely right when he says that, you know, the best Derek Carr is the one that's motivated, fired up, and has a little edge to him, a little chip on the shoulder. I wish he could carry that with him all the time, because, you know, sometimes he goes out there and just has an extra point to prove. And I know that if he carried it all the time, it wouldn't be real. It'd be like forced. But either way, it is nice when he's got it.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. But good news, so they'll know tomorrow, per Vinny Bonsignor, that the Raiders will know tomorrow morning who among Trent Brown's teammates are high risk, which would mean they'd have to be isolated under protocol. So we'll see how it goes, man. I mean, look, you still got to – it's a distraction, but at least you'll know definitively tomorrow kind of where things stand. But as of right now, the Raiders got to still plan. They still got to go through what they would do in a normal game week, and that's get ready for Tom Brady and that Buccaneers defense. And that includes, you know, whoever it is sitting up there at offensive line. And, yeah, if you're Derek Carr and you got a bunch of guys up there, that makeshift line you mentioned earlier, Q, you're going to be a little bit more worried, but you can't really – let it creep too much into your head, because if you do, then it impacts your own game.
Right, exactly. I mean, you got to go out there and play if you have to, and you can't worry about who's out there. You just have to hope that your guys come back, and if not, and you do have to play, then you got to go out there and do your best you can. I mean, it's just what it is. You know, that's why there's extra players on the practice squad. That's why there's extra offensive linemen allowed this year. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been put in place to try to help you out. You just want to go into a game, especially knowing that it's a national game, Sunday night football, coming off a big win against the Chiefs, and you kind of want to keep riding that high that you have, and you might not if you don't have all your guys.
Yep, well said. Raider P in Vegas is next up on the Raider Nation Hotline. You're on with Scott and Q. What's going on, Raider P?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I'm feeling good. I feel really good about Sunday night. I felt the same way when we played the Chiefs. So I'm going to make my prediction. 42-21 Raiders.
Wow.
Dang.
What do you think of that? We're going to come in and we're going to punch him in the mouth. There was only one person in this town that wanted, what's his name, Tommy the Tuck Brady. And that was the UFC president, or what was his name? He wanted him so bad.
Dana White.
We love Carr. Carr, if you're listening to me, like I said, baby, we got your back. 42-21 Raiders.
Wow.
Somewhere, okay. Yeah. Gangsta Raiders like, hell yes.
Yes, because he said 42 as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
42 points. Well, again, if they have their offensive line, possible. If they don't have their offensive line, I don't know about that. But, you know, that's the thing. I really thought before this morning and before this afternoon's news, I really thought that this game could be a shootout, that there would be a lot of offense on both sides of the ball. Even despite the Buccaneers' defense, I thought that there could be a lot of points put up on the board. Now, we're also hearing that the game action, for those of you who partake in gambling on football, has been taken down. So the Raider game has been taken down. Earlier, I put in a little wager, and so I got it before it went off. But we'll see how that impacts the gaming side of things, too. The Patriots were still a 3-point favorite as of this morning, and I'm sure they're just waiting till tomorrow morning when we hear from the team and the league on what's going to move forward. But, Q, what other concerns do you have? I have concerns, too, because if Jonathan Abram is one of the high-risk guys, or worse, then you suddenly have a depleted defensive backfield without one of their top starters again.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, and that's why I keep going back to you want to go out there with all your top dogs. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're talking about the offensive line, but Jonathan Abram is a top dog as well. You know, yeah. Like Hondo Carpenter always says, that's an alpha dog for the Raiders, and that's exactly what they got him back there for. He's an enforcer. He brings the energy. I mean, there's a lot to really be upset about if he's not out there as well, especially if it has to do with this, you know, contact tracing. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot on the line right now for the Raiders.
There is, and I wonder, too, because of this, I mean, they have to have the phones going a little bit to look for possible guys to bring onto the roster if they're going to have folks or bring guys off the practice squad if they're going to have to make some tough decisions coming up this week or even next week, depending on what happens with some of these players who are having to quarantine due to protocol, at least for now. But again, best case scenario is most of these guys get back tomorrow and they're ready to go for Sunday, minus Trent Brown. But even then, with Trent Brown, we might end up getting some good news. You got to hold out for that. But we'll find out for sure from Vinny after the break about Trent Brown, particularly as I know he's been working the phones all day to try to find out if he did indeed test positive or what the deal is. And so we'll find out where he's at with that one, Q. But yeah, just a strange day. It's one of those days where, to me, it's always been in the back of my mind. And when the Raiders had a couple players like Mo Hurst and Max Crosby and then Damon Arnette coming off his surgery test positive or be in the COVID protocol, I always thought, boy, is it going to snowball into something bigger? Everybody thought that the charity event without the mask, that might be a catalyst. It turned out not to be. But here we are, and the Raiders are faced with something that at least I think 8 other NFL teams have now gone through.
Exactly. And that's one of those things that I've been thinking about it all season long. It's almost like you get through a week and you're like, whoo, another week.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's really all you could do. You just have to hope that the team makes it through another week. And again, I've been covering high school, college, pros, and this has been the unnecessary evil, but it's what's going on. I mean, COVID-19 is a real thing, and it's affecting a lot of activities that are going on, and a lot of these games are being impacted. We've seen it in the NFL. It's everywhere. It stinks, man.
Yeah, it's got to get these players to stay home, have their untoasted
I had my buddy. Actually, it's funny you said that. Yeah. My buddy Mikey the Barber hit me up and said that PB&J is like my favorite snack, bro. Don't disrespect the PB&J.
Okay, yeah, we brought up PB&J the other day.
I can't believe there's so many food takes on this show.
I know, man. People love it. And by the way, food. You talk
kid
about
food on top of that.
Peanut butter and jelly. You want there is my wife will occasionally buy the Crustables. They're called. They're like the little round ones. And for my kids, for their lunch, and I will admit that I sneak them occasionally. Absolutely.
And they're for your kids.
Yes,
because they're for kids.
Those, absolutely. They're cut out. They're not a the actual sandwich. They are this weird device. Bobby just said, or food. Oh, my God, it's too much. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll spend some time with Vinny. We'll close out the show. We'll take your calls, too, if you want to get your opinion in. Are you concerned with the Raiders and all this COVID stuff, obviously, with the news today? 702-365-9200 is the number. You're listening to Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, you don't know what age he is. We should take a good look at it. He's not showing any sign of age at all. He's one of the great quarterback, certainly we know that, but he's adapted every year to different personnel, different coordinators. He's the best, you know. It's a great thrill for us to have a chance to compete against him.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Go. Welcome back on the Silver and Black Today. Here, speaking of silver and black, Judas Priest, that's pretty much what they wore. Black leather, silver spikes, right? There you go.
Yep.
We're back here on this Wednesday where we got the news earlier, and we're going to have Vinny come in. I saw him outside. I went in the break queue. I went out to see him to make sure he could come on because I know he's been just crazy busy getting to the bottom of everything for the RJ and for his show. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, no. So he's ready to go. By the way, I also have a five-day streak. In this, after the last break, which we just went through, I crumple up my rundown, which I have printed out, and there's a trash can in the corner of the studio behind Bobby, and I shoot it 5 days in a row.
I don't believe it until we see it.
5 days
it
in a row.
It didn't happen unless there's video.
Okay, I'll start you a video. But then Bobby told me, now that I said that, I jinxed myself.
You did. It's like when the announcers in an NBA game says, this guy's 98% from the free throw line. He hasn't missed one in the last 45 shots. Clank.
Clank,
brick.
Right? Yeah.
Yep, every time.
Yeah. Although it's funny,
they do that with field goal kickers, too. Daniel Carlson has not missed a kick all season long, and he's had a career-high 54 yards. This 41-yarder is going to be a chip shot. He hooks it. It happens every time.
And I coached baseball for so long. I coached baseball for 24 years. And that's like the whole no-hitter thing. We never talk about it. You know, we never even mention it. Okay, you're in the last inning and the kid's got a no-hitter. You're like, don't talk about it. Don't even think about it. Nobody say anything. And then if the kids would mention it, we'd start yelling at them. No, stop. Don't do it. Oh, man, too much. We get so superstitious with that stuff.
No, that's real, though.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. You don't talk about no hitters. Yeah. I don't even like, and I had this argument on my other radio show. I don't even like, I was watching a Ranger game one day and the Rangers were getting no hit and their radio broadcast crew was like, man, they still haven't got a hit yet. They still haven't got a hit yet. And I was like, that's cheap, man. You can't do that. This is something beautiful happening right now. Great pitcher performance. Don't talk about it. But it was their radio crew or TV crew.
That's terrible.
I know, that's what I thought. But everyone was like, no, Q, you want to break it up. And I was like, I get that, but not really.
No, yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things.
Because if you stink to the point where you're getting no hit, so be it. I don't care if it's my team or not. And I don't mean stink. I just mean that, hey, that other pitcher is dominating.
Do you know the teams that have not ever had a no-hitter? Pitched a no-hitter?
No, I don't.
You don't know?
No, I don't know that.
Oh, I happen to follow one of them. That's why I know.
Padres?
Padres have never had a no-hitter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And before that, it was the Padres.
What if they won?
What if they won?
Yeah.
They've won two National League pennants.
What if they won? That matters.
National League pennants matter? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. How many championships have they held up?
Zero.
All right.
There you go.
That's what I thought.
There you go. I thought the point yesterday, by the way, and I'm not just saying this to pander since you're a big A's fan, but that one caller yesterday when we were talking about Raider fans and wanting national attention and all that, his point about the A's dynasty being so underrated, I absolutely agree 100% with.
Oh, no doubt.
And I think the only part of the reason, besides being West Coast, part of the reason, I think, is because it was so long ago. That's one of the reasons.
Well, and they only won one one World Series out of that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's like the Braves. Remember how good the Braves were for years?
Yeah.
And then they could never get it done in the end.
Right. And the Dodgers have been that way. It looks like the Dodgers, maybe, we'll see. Am I jinxing them? I hope so. But they started off well yesterday in the World Series.
Yeah, they did.
So maybe they've finally done that. I just want Tampa Bay to win because they have the lowest payroll, and I kind of rooting for the underdog there. I could care less about the Tampa Bay Rays.
That's not the reason you want them to win. Come on. You just hate the
Dodgers.
That's
right. Call them out, man.
50% of the reason.
Come on, man. Come on, Scott.
Somebody said that to me on Twitter. They're like, BS, man. You're a Padre fan. I said, yes, I am. Absolutely.
Own it.
Okay, so Vinny, you've had nothing going on today.
Oh, boy.
And I was sitting near you when all this stuff broke, and you went immediately into action because that's what you do. And we've been clarifying as we've gone along and using your tweets. But let's kind of reset a little bit for our audience. So Trent Brown, do we know if he tested positive yet?
He did test positive.
He tested positive.
He tested positive off of yesterday morning's test.
Okay.
So the way it works, you test in the morning, you get the result later on in the evening. Mm-hmm. So based on that test, he tested positive for COVID-19.
Okay, so now his teammates who were sent home as a precaution today.
Well, not as a precaution.
Oh, sorry, as part of the protocol.
They go into the protocol.
Correct.
And it's based on their last contact with Trent Brown, which was Monday at practice. Obviously, everyone had a day off yesterday short of coming in to get tested. But other than that, there wasn't any real contact. So when you talk about contact tracing, it goes back to their last contact with Trent Brown on Monday. And then, you know, all those the
wristbands we wear,
everything that we wear and that the players wear will now be looked at and to determine who is considered high risk contact with Trent Brown and who isn't.
And your story, I was reading through your story in between breaks, so perusing it. And from what I understand and what you tweeted is if you're high risk, then you will be quarantined.
Yeah, you'll go into isolation, right, exactly.
And that would be for 5 days, right?
For 5 days, backtracked to Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you would be eligible to come back if you're high risk. And of course, you clear all the hurdles in between now and Saturday.
Three negative tests, right?
Right, which would put you in line to play on Sunday, except you wouldn't have practiced at all. Right.
Yeah.
So there's the dilemma. Now, if you aren't deemed high risk, you're eligible to come back to work tomorrow, provided you clear your normal hurdles and show no symptoms, obviously. So that's where it stands, and you're not going to know, or the Raiders aren't going to know until tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, right.
You know, who is and who isn't deemed high risk. And also, you got to throw Jonathan Abram in there as well.
Yes, mentioned that, yep.
He too is in that protocol. I'm of the belief that if, you know, multiple guys are deemed high risk, there's no way you could play Sunday's game.
No.
I'm sorry, but there's no way you could play Sunday's game. It's hard enough, you know, not practicing with your, you know, starting tackle and your starting safety, let alone all the other offensive linemen, and then possibly not having them until Saturday, which would give them just a short little walkthrough that they could have on Saturday before playing on Sunday. There's no reason prudent reason to play that game if that is the situation. Now, we'll find out tomorrow who is and who isn't. Hopefully, you know, the rest of the offensive line and Jonathan Abram weren't deemed high risk, and then they can go back to work and then everything's back on schedule, but we don't know that yet.
Yeah, that's what scared the mess out of me is looking at the guys that actually filled in at the offensive line positions today in practice. Those guys will get Derek Carr killed. I mean, it'll just be all bad. But I'm with you, Vinny. It's like, if you're not going to have a majority of your guys in that certain position, then go ahead and push the game. Now, if you have to miss Trent Brown, which you'll obviously do, fine. I mean, the Raiders have done that. But, man, if you got 3-4 guys from that offensive line, 5 guys from the offensive line, you got to push that game.
Yeah, exactly. Now the question becomes, you know, to when? And I mean, is it Monday? Does that give you enough time? I don't know. The Raiders also have to go travel to Cleveland the week after that. Or do you put it on another week? You know, do you add
an 18th week?
Right. Or play it on a Thursday. I don't know. I don't know exactly how you can do that. But, you know, I have a feeling that you're probably going to see we're in the early stages of the bye week process. So more and more teams are going to start going on their bye weeks. It'll be interesting to see how teams come back from their bye weeks. Obviously, the Raiders, not so good with Trent Brown testing positive. So I would wonder, I would think that if we see more of this, then maybe they add another week to the season and extend the playoffs, whatever the case might be, to make sure that you give yourself a cushion to be able to get games in as needed.
Well, and Vinny, because of Trent Brown's history with the Raiders and his inability to stay on the field, when this news broke, I found myself actually defending him because saying, look, we don't know. It could have been a trainer he had contact with that gave him COVID. It could have been his mother. It could have been anybody.
Right.
So there's no saying that what he did something irresponsible, right?
Yeah, no.
And there's no way for us to ever know that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that unless something came out,
correct?
Where you know
he was at a nightclub,
right? Like a Rudy Giuliani situation. unless something came out in a Borat movie months from now, showing him in a compromising position, which I doubt is going to happen, obviously. But anyway, sorry to make a joke of that, but it was pretty funny. What happened today, right? Exactly, you know, more in lines of who it was in the, you know, righteousness that he's trying to show, and all of a sudden, look at him. Anyway, I don't think anyone, you know, I'm sure some fans are throwing darts or trying to figure it out, but I'm, you know, if something came out, then obviously that changed it. But you're right. It could happen anywhere. It could happen going to the gas station to get your gas, whatever the case might be. What's important is that he's okay and his teammates are okay. His family is okay. Jonathan Abram is okay. That's first and foremost. But then secondary to that is it prudent to play a football game on Sunday if there's some, extenuating circumstances?
Well, and again, personal safety and personal health is always the first issue. So we want those guys to all be healthy, number one. But number two, worst case scenario is a couple of those guys are positive, because then the game goes on and you just got to fill in those spots, right? The best case scenario is they all come back and they're okay. They're not deemed high risk and they can come back and the Raiders are at least partially at full strength, versus if you have three guys test positive.
Well, you don't even have to test positive for them to potentially not be available. Yeah.
Right.
They just have to be considered high risk. Obviously that would be even worse if they tested positive. But if they are by tomorrow morning, Gabe Jackson and Colton Miller are deemed, in that high risk category where they're not going to be able to come back until Saturday under certain conditions, man, that's a lot to ask of a team to go out there and play under those conditions. And I'm not sure it's safe, like Q pointed out. It definitely changes. We're already seeing that the game has come off the books, I think,
here
in Las Vegas,
Vegas.
Yep. So, a lot to sort through over these next 24 hours, and it's going to be really critical, to see where all of this is headed.
Does it almost feel, Vinny, like it's the inevitable that the NFL is going to have a Week 18 and they're going to have a Week 18?
Inevitable, I don't know, but it's certainly possible. And I know that in the back of everybody's heads, that was something that they thought about, and which is fine. You're just trying to get the season in and not force things, giving yourself some cushion to be able to have some flexibility to deal with a very, very uncertain type of a situation.
Well, and Vinny, from a mental preparation standpoint, you now have this huge distraction. I mean, I don't care if you're a pro or not. Having something like this where your teammates are suddenly gone and you're Derek Carr and you're a quarterback and you're behind a bunch of guys that aren't used to playing in these positions, you have that situation. So even if they come back, though, you now will have a short week to prepare, maybe a day if you're lucky. If they don't move, if they move the game to Monday, then you're going to have one practice.
Right.
If they move it to Tuesday, which would be better for them, then you have 2 days of practice. But it's still, you're out of that rhythm. In talking with your sources, players, coaches, whoever you're talking to, how much is that concern going into this massively huge game for them?
Well, it's a huge concern. Not going to candy coat it whatsoever. It's a concern, and the hope is that everyone or the majority of are back tomorrow, so that they could get a relatively regular work in. But if it's not, then that concern, goes to DEFCON, one or four. I don't remember which one is the highest, but DEFCON one is the highest level of DEFCON. So, because, it's not just because you're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and it's, a fierce pass rush. It's anyone would play.
It's
anyone that you play in the NFL. If you're lining up without your best players especially just one group, the offensive line, it would be one thing if it was an offensive lineman and a safety and a wide receiver. Right. When it's the entire offensive line, that's pretty bad.
It's a nightmare scenario. It's just like we talked about if it happened to all your quarterbacks. It's the same kind of thing.
Exactly.
It's not easily replaceable. Well, Vinny, thank you so much. And if you guys want to ask Vinny questions, he's on top of this now. He spent all day figuring it out. So make sure you do that. He'll be along here at 4 o'clock, Lincoln Kennedy on In the Huddle. Vinny, have fun with that.
All right. Thank you very much. And we're here if you got questions. Absolutely.
That's right. You can call in 702-365-9200 and get ready. But Vinny, thanks, man. We appreciate you breaking it down for us.
All right. Have a great show, brother.
Thank you. See you, man.
All right. Yep. So there you go. You're up to date. That was good. Vinny spent all day working on it.
Speaking of up to date, Wally Champ tweeted at me and said, "That's Just My Baby Daddy" song was actually B-Rock and the Biz.
Oh, the Biz. Now, see, I remember them.
No, you don't.
I do.
You're a lie.
Come on, man. You remember Tootsie?
You a lie.
Remember Tootsie Roll?
I do. Okay. I did that song at Great America.
Did you?
They did. Oh, yeah. I performed it with a group of our guys.
Nice.
It was awesome.
There's no video.
Hey, man, look, I'm a very talented dude.
I've never questioned that for 1 minute.
I could Tootsie Roll like the best of them.
I just never, just when it comes to hot dogs and Pop-Tarts, that's a different story.
That's, That's gross. Oh, speaking of, how about Tootsie Rolls? Do you eat those nasty things?
You know, I will partake in them occasionally on Halloween, but they have to be the full size ones, not the little midget ones.
Those things, and that was disrespectful. I'm just kidding. Those things are just filler candy. Nobody eats those things. That just fills up the bag.
Oh, man. Well, you know, with my son, he's got to be gluten-free because he's got celiac disease, so he's limited on his candy. That's one of them. So, you know, you do what you got to do. You know that, though. All right. You have cute. Here we go. Well, hopefully tomorrow we get good news. We're coming on to talk about the offensive linebacker practice, right? So, Q, as always, thanks, brother.
All right, man. Peace out.
All right. For Q Myers, I'm Scott Colbranson. And thanks to Bobby Machado behind the board. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.